All right. You notice Jesus said they were experts. What's expert mean? Nobody better. If you go to an expert in a field, they know they're the best. There's nobody better. He said, you guys are experts in setting aside God's commands for your tradition. Who considered themselves the most religious people at that time? The experts at setting aside God's commands. Who are considered the most religious people now? Has it changed? No. The experts at setting aside God's commands. Jesus said, point blank, in vain do you worship God. Following the doctrines, precepts means doctrines, teachings of men. Vain worship. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The idea of continuing the deluding influence. This has been going on like 8 weeks. Are y'all pretty much convinced of this deluding influence over the entire world? How many people have escaped the deluding influence? Ones that love the truth. Period. That's it. This deluding influence, we did evolution last week, and you know, to me that's just so funny that their whole belief system is based on superstition, that nature is a conscious observer. This week we're going to talk about worship and continuing the idea of people who are deluded. How many people are under a delusion of what they're doing is worship to God?
Most.
What about today? How many people are going to church today under the delusion that they're worshiping God? Yeah. And we're going to talk about how you can know that what you're doing is a delusion. Under the law, which Jesus was under, God gave very specific actions that must be followed in worshiping Him. To change any instruction in the slightest was a death sentence. You guys remember that? The proof text for Leviticus 10:1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron the high priest, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, they placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. And fire came from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. What was the penalty for changing the slightest instruction that God gave about His worship? Death. But it's not like that now, right? Huh? You mean if you change the slightest instruction about God's worship today, it's death? Yeah, that's exactly what it means. We have a spiritual covenant now. Theirs was physical law. God gave holy vestments. He gave holy robes. He gave holy instructions. He gave holy places. He gave holy sacrifice. He gave holy commandments. When Nadab and Abihu were consumed by fire, God says, I will be treated as holy. When they gave strange fire, what did they say about God's holiness? Eh. You know, you don't have to be 100%. Do you? Absolutely. The whole point is God says, I will be treated as holy. And everything He says and everything He gives us to do will be treated as holy. Paul, how much can you change what is holy? Is this the Holy Bible? How much do people change it? What's the penalty for changing something holy? You guys understand the seriousness of this? So we're going to talk about worship. God gave written instructions about how to worship Him. What did man do with these instructions? Yeah, we've been going through Isaiah. Let me just read you a few. Isaiah 1:11. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of the bulls, lambs, and goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, where people assemble to worship God, the calling of your assemblies, I cannot endure them. I cannot endure your solemn assembly. What does God think about those who gather in God's name in their own way? I can't stand it. What about what's happening right now today on Sunday? is God looking down and going, I can't stand it. That's what we've done to His instructions in His worship. Isaiah 2:8, they worship the work of their hands and that which their fingers have made. That was true in Isaiah's time. What about today? Do people still worship what they've made, what they've created, their ministry, their self-help, their program, their buses, their buildings, their libraries, their checking account? Do people still worship and give honor to the things they're doing for God? You know what God's response to that is? I can't stand that stuff. I hate it. Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, because His people draw near to Me with their words and honor Me with their lip service, but they remove their heart far from Me, and their reverence for Me consists of traditions learned by rote. What do we do with God's instructions? We make them meaningless. We add our own little bits. We take out the bits that are too much trouble. How much trouble is it to assemble on the first day of the week? That's just too much trouble. You know, I had to work late, and I didn't get to bed till 12, 1 in the morning, and assembling, that's just too much trouble. And, hunting season's on, and that's the only time I have to go, and it's just too much trouble. How many people, it was just too much trouble today to assemble in God's church? You know what God says about that? I'm tired of you. You're tired of Me? I'm tired of you. And He goes on to say, I will hide My face, and you can multiply your prayers to Me, and I will not listen. How important is it to worship correctly? If you don't worship correctly, God says, I'm tired of you, I can't endure you, I will hide My face, and you can pray until your face turns blue. I refuse to listen. That's how important worship is. Mark 7:7 says the same thing. In vain do they worship Me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. How much is that going on today, Paul? But do they believe they're worshiping? Do they feel good? Are they excited? Is it passionate? Do their hearts lift up? Do they sing and praise and lift their hands in the sky? Do they go out and love people and teach and preach and knock doors? Do they all go out and they consider themselves worshiping God? Yes. And what does God say about all that? I can't stand it, because all you're doing is worshiping your own selves. God established without a doubt over thousands of years that mankind cannot worship God by following rules and traditions. How many people today think they can? God established they can't. You can't. Paul said it in Antioch. Why are you trying to hold the Gentiles to a system we couldn't do? We can't do it. No one can worship God following rules and traditions. It can't be done. God's proved it over and over and over and over. Even when He writes out specific instructions for them. Does the Bible have all of worship written out plainly? Well, then why do we get it all wrong? That's exactly right. If you give Jody instructions and he does it all wrong, what do you know the problem is? He didn't listen, but you'll overlook it. Or do you give him motivation to listen next time? You understand? That's the way it is. People don't listen. God has written out everything that He wants for worship, and we don't listen. And in every instance, man's worship becomes vain and worthless every 100% time. Every time. That's why in John 4, Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well that her people teach God's worship is on their mountain according to their customs. And she says, well, you say worship to God is on your mountain according to your customs. Who's right? And Jesus' answer was that the time's coming and now is where people won't worship in that mountain or this mountain, but they'll worship in spirit and in truth. Everything about worship changed when we had the covenant of grace. Jesus said so to the Samaritan woman and to Nicodemus too. The idea that the kind of worship laid down by law and rules and traditions has nothing to do with worship anymore, because He proved we can't do it that way. He had to come up with something else. The idea here is all former ideas of worship will be done away with in the covenant of grace. Now, let's compare law and grace in terms of worship that's written out in the Bible. You have, under Jesus' time, and until He rose from the dead and established the church at Pentecost, you have law. God wrote down specific instructions about His worship. The temple, the priesthood, what they wear, the sacrifices, how you do the sacrifices, who gets the sacrifices, how you dispose of the sacrifices, what the sacrifices mean, the Sabbath day, what you do on the Sabbath day, everything was specific. He wrote it out. Now Jesus said, you're not going to do it like that anymore. You're going to have a new covenant. Under the new covenant, it's all going to change. That covenant's called grace. The difference is, under law, you have... Let's see if I can find something that writes better than that one. I used to have a ton of them up here. Under law, you have formality. What does that mean? When somebody says, well, that's just a formality, what does that mean? You have to. If it's a formality, that means you have to do it this way. Yeah, you and I, we're going to give you going to business, but we have to sign these papers as a formality. That means you have to in order for it to be correct. Formality means there's an exact, specific way to do things. Now, under grace, worship is not that anymore. Worship is family. Now, y'all see a difference? You know what the first thing Thomas says to a guest that come into his house? He says, we don't have a formality here. Make yourself at home. Isn't that what you say to people who come to your house as guests? Or do you say, now here's what you have to do as a guest. You have to sit on this couch in this spot. Don't open my refrigerator. Don't use my bathroom. Don't use my towels. Is that what you do when guests come over? Is that what you do when family comes over? How much formality is there when family gets together? Zero. So how much formality should there be when we assemble as the church? How much is there, Elsie? You understand why people are deluded and have all this worship stuff wrong? People have worship completely, utterly wrong. Now, let's look at the two ways that you contrast formality under law, worship of God, and family under grace, worship of God. This is going to be the basic journalistic idea. Who? When you have worship under law and follow formality, who is it that can worship? Could anybody walk into the temple and go into the court of the Jews? Could anybody offer a sacrifice or go in there and light the candles? Did anybody put the showbread out? Why not? Because under formality, you have specific people that are arranged in specific order. You have the high priest. Could anybody be a high priest? You had to show your genealogy to Aaron to be a high priest. Then you had the priest. Could anybody be a priest? You had to show your genealogy to Levi. Then you have the scribes, Pharisees. Then you have the court of the Jews, men. Then you have the court of the Jewish women. Then you have the court of the Gentiles. And then you have the outside. What if anybody broke that order? You're dead. If Paul, as a Gentile, walked into the court of the women, what would happen to you? It says that in Acts. Anybody, any non-Jew that walks past this point, you are a dead man or woman. Formality. Worship to God under law and formality. Specific people are arranged in a specific order. Now, we don't have that today in the church, do we, Elsie? We don't have elders and then deacons and then the preacher and then teachers and then the good Christians and then the lazy Christians. We don't have that, do we? Oh, my goodness. You know what you're not supposed to have? Specific people in specific orders. You're not supposed to have that anymore. Under family, who can attend the assembly under family? You know what it says in the Scriptures? It talks about in Corinthians. If you speak in tongues, that means the saved, and the unlearned and the unsaved, the unbelievers, listen and don't understand, you're just being confusing. Who were in their assemblies? The elect, the unlearned, illiterate, and the unbelieving, the ones who don't know and the ones who refuse to know. Men Women? Children? Do they have places where they could go and can't go? You guys understand how what worship assembly is under grace? It's anyone. No order. If you worship God, doesn't that mean you're saved, Thomas? You can't be an unbeliever and worship God, can you? Sure you can. You can refuse to obey Him, but you can love your neighbor and you can give to orphans and you can do things that show your respect for who God is. Just because you worship God, that doesn't mean you've joined the covenant. In their churches, they had the elect, the saved, they had the unsaved, the unlearned, the unbelievers, men, women, children, all together. So the assembly that we're under now, worship should be anyone with no specific people in a specific order. Now, Paul, how many churches do you know right now that do not put specific people in a specific descending order in their worship services? They don't have elders, deacons, preacher, teachers. There's only one you know of? There's got to be more than that. Okay. The idea is, if you do it, if you worship God with formality, like the law, what kind of worship is that? What did Jesus say it was? Vain. Vain, worthless. Because all these things now are the precepts of men. Men created elders as the top. Where does Corinthians put elders? At the bottom. Who's at the top in Corinthians? God established in the church first? Apostles. How many elders override the apostles? You see, understand how crazy? They've completely lost the idea of what worship is. They're deluded and they think they worship God. So the idea of family means anyone. Who can come to a family reunion? Uh-huh. Thomas, you guys had a big family reunion and I showed up. Would I be welcome? I'm obviously not family. Why? Because if we're friends, we love each other. When you walk in, how do they treat me? You understand how family's supposed to work? No formality. Well, you know, these are the Harper reunion. You stand over here. You know, we'll bring you a sandwich. But you don't come into the assembly of the Harpers. Would that be the way you do it?
No.
Or would you treat everybody like family? So how are we supposed to treat everybody in our assemblies? Family. Who's better than anybody else? Everyone's equal. Everyone's family. Now, you understand how different worship is supposed to be than what is going on out there? And that's just who. Let's go to the next one. What? When they assemble, what do they assemble to do? Under formality, once again, they have specific things in a specific way. If you change that under the law in the Old Testament, what happened to you? You're dead. Under what? Formality means a specific thing in a specific way. How many churches do it that way right now? When they come together, they have a specific order done a specific way. Is that worship? No. That's law and formality. Family, on the other hand, when you get together in the New Testament, it says they sang together, they prayed together, they learned together, they took communion together, they ate together, they fellowshiped together. What about specific things done in a specific way? No. All you have under grace is fellowship. Well, what constitutes fellowship? Is there one way and one way only to fellowship? Singing is fellowship, isn't it? How do you have to do it in a specific way? No instruments, right? Would God fall over dead if we brought a piano in here?
No.
But would other Christians fall over dead? You understand? It's not God. It's other Christians. You don't use your freedom to make your brother stumble. But under grace, family. You just fellowship. When you guys get together for a family reunion, do you have a set list where you have to do things a certain way in a certain order? Is that how you do a family reunion? What do you do? You hug each other, you have sack races, you play bingo, whatever. Just whatever is fellowship. You fellowship in any way. So worship is anyone that is fellowshipping in any way. You guys see how different worship is supposed to be? Jesus said, you're not going to do it like you used to. You're going to do it this way. How many people are getting together right now and there anyone can fellowship in any way? Without specific things done in a specific order in a specific way? Yeah. What is their worship? Vain. It's vain. Next one. Where? Under law and formality, when you want to worship God, where do you have to do it? Well, I don't feel like going to synagogue. Is that how it worked? No. If you wanted to offer sacrifices, where did you have to go? You had to go to the temple. Yeah, because you had to go to the temple. Matter of fact, on certain feast days, you better be there. It was commanded 3 times a year, you're going to the temple. You're going to Jerusalem. Under law and formality, it is a specific place that is where you worship God. A specific place, and you have to go to that place in order to worship God. That's the way it was under law and formality. Let's go to family and grace. Where do you have to go in order to worship God under grace and family? What do you mean anywhere? Well, I mean anywhere that's holy and sacred. It has to have stained glass and pews. It has to have a steeple on the top. You know, hopefully it won't fall off and crush your car. But you guys know that you have to go to a certain sacred place in order to worship God. You know what they did in the New Testament? They met on Solomon's portico. That's porch. That's outside. Had anyone ever tried to worship God outside the temple before? No. They worship God on the porch outside. They worship God in houses. A specific sacred house? It says house to house. As a matter of fact, it says may the houses that contain the church. They would worship on the porch outside the temple. They worship from house to house. It says they went down to the riverside on a Sabbath. That'd be a Saturday. In order to find a place of prayer and worship. Where could you worship once the covenant of grace was established? Outside, house to house, the riverside. Where's the specific place you have to be to worship God? There is none. Worship under grace is anywhere. Has that ever happened before? How many people believe they can worship God anywhere now? Huh? Where do you have to worship God now? You have to go to a church building or a storefront that's substituting as a church building until they can build a real church building and be a real church. You understand how far people have gone from worship? They're nowhere near what God establishes worship. They've lost the idea. They follow the doctrines of men in vain worship and they invalidate the Word of God. Next one. When? Under law and formality, when do you assemble and worship God? On the Sabbath. On the feast days. At certain times, in certain places. Under law and formality, worship was specific. On this date, at this time, at sunrise, sunset, specific. You could only worship God at a certain time. In a certain place, in a certain way, if you're a certain people. You got this? Under grace, when can you worship God? What do you mean anytime? You mean Sunday. Anytime on Sunday. Well, actually, it has to be 11 o'clock on Sunday or else it's not real worship. But you mean anytime on Sunday. What do you mean? Well, let me read to you what it says in the Scriptures. In Acts 2, 46, 47, it says, day by day. What does that mean? Day by day, they met together, ate together, prayed together, and God added daily. That means on Sunday. Daily means Sunday, doesn't it? And God added daily. such as those who are being saved. When did they meet to worship God in the New Testament? Any day, day by day, every day. Did it matter? Nope. Could they meet on a Thursday and worship God? Well, that's not right. It has to be Sunday and Wednesday. Everybody knows that. That's the tradition of the elders. You can't go against the tradition of the elders, right, Tom? They wouldn't be experts at invalidating the Word of God, would they? Yes, they are. Under the New Testament, worship to God is day by day in Acts. It's daily food, daily. They were added. That means daily baptisms. Daily, they gathered. The Bereans daily studied the Scriptures to see if these things were so. That means they had study meetings every single day, any day of the week. Daily, Paul taught in the temple. Daily. You guys understand? Family. Worship to God is family, is anyone fellowshipping in any way, anywhere, at any time. Now, Paul, what would happen to you if you went over to the hill and said, you know, you guys could do this exact same thing on Tuesday morning, it would be just as valid as it is right now. Why? It's not the tradition of the elders, is it? What does Jesus say about the tradition of the elders? In vain do they worship me, making void the Word of God with their traditions. They're experts in setting aside the Word of God. Worship to God is anyone fellowshipping in any way, anywhere, at any time. Under law and formality, it's specific people in a specific order, at a specific, doing a specific thing, at a specific place, at a specific time. How many churches right now are still following this pattern? You guys want to tremble a little bit now? You really should. That's what I did when I was going through this. You're going, oh my goodness. You know what Jesus would say to all those people following this? Don't know you. You don't know me. You worship in vain. That ought to make you shake a little bit. It ought to make them too, but is it going to? What would happen if you went to the school over there where you used to go, Thomas, and you told them what I'm telling you? Yeah. Blasphemer. Now, the next one. That's who, what, where, when. Anyone fellowshipping in any way at any time. The next one is how. You guys are familiar with this journalistic pattern, aren't you? How. How, under law and formality, is one specific way by one specific set of instructions. Every church says, or in the Old Testament, under law and formality, there is only one specific way you can worship. And it's formal, you have to do it the right way, and it's instructions. When you come in, you do it this way, you genuflect, you sit down, they throw the incense, whatever you want to say today. But under law and formality, how you worship, there's one way. Specific, and it's written down. Now, under grace, how do you worship under grace? This is what's so great. Under this one, there's one specific way that you have to follow by instruction. Under grace, there's one specific command. What is it? Love your neighbor. You see the difference? Under law formality, how you worship, there's only one specific way, and you have to do it in this specific way by written instruction and do it right every single time. Under grace and family, there's only one specific instruction, love your neighbor. Well, how, Thomas? Anyway. If you want to take them for a cup of coffee, that's what Sunday evening is for, guys. I don't know how many people are taking advantage of this Sunday evening. But do we have to come to this building at a specific time, at a specific place to worship Sunday evening? No. You can take somebody to coffee. You can invite somebody to your house. This afternoon, we're all going to go out to eat. And then we're going to meet at the theater. And we're all going to see whoever wants to. We're all going to see that new 2012 and laugh at the Mayan prophecies. Paul, us going as a group to 2012, that's not worship, is it? Why? Yeah. It's fellowship. It's us getting together to enjoy this story. And we're going to laugh at the story. I'm telling you, we're going to laugh at the story. And then special day. Going to this film is exactly like coming to this building. Now, how many people would throw me out right now? But is it true? Yeah. Coming to this building is us getting together to enjoy each other's company. What's going to the film? Getting together to enjoy it. What's the difference? Well, this is sacred and that's not. Is it? Or is wherever we gather as a people sacred? See the difference? You understand what worship is supposed to be? It's anyone fellowshipping in any way, anywhere, anytime, with one command. Love your neighbor. In any way you can, the best you can. That's worship today. Last one. Why? Why did God establish the formality of worship under the law? Yep. I'll tell you why. He says it over and over and over and over and over in the Old Testament. To teach you to forsake your way and to love my way as holy. So under law and formality, God said it's specific people in a specific order, doing a specific thing at a specific place, at a specific time, with one way of doing it. And why? To forsake your way and do my way and see it as holy. How well did it work under law and formality? Disaster. You can't do it. How many people are still trying this pattern right here? How many people still think that true worship is specific people put in a specific order, meeting in a specific way, at a specific place, at a specific time, with one way of doing things to prove their love for God? Yeah. You know what that kind of worship is? It's vain and worthless. That ought to make you shake. That you can see it. This is all we see when we look around us. We're the one little flicker. Or we're trying to be. We're the one little flicker. Over here, when anyone can fellowship in any way, anywhere, at any time, with one command, love your neighbor in any way you can. Why? To forsake your way and love God's way is holy. Did God change the why in either of these? Nope. He just made the one that's impossible, possible. Worship is only possible under grace and family. Period. Grace and family is the only thing that makes worship possible. Spirit and truth. That's it. If you worship God in any other way than as a family, if you use formality, you will fail. You guys see that around you? How many churches, how many assemblies have you seen fail? Break apart, fight, fuss, argue. People leave. People go start other assemblies. They fight and fuss. Those people leave. They think that's church growth. Is it? It's vain and worthless. We are under grace and a family. We are together. We can join here together and fellowship. The elect fellowship themselves as God's family. But does that mean we turn our back on the unsaved, the unbelievers, the unlearned around us? Or do we love them just as much? You betcha. It's anyone fellowshipping any way, anywhere, anytime, loving their neighbor in any way. Why? To show God's way is the best and our way is nothing. How many people are worshiping like that right now? Oh my goodness. How badly is the world deluded with the idea of worship? It's unbelievable. Jesus, well, the last thing under formality, God's written rules and traditions under law and formality become meaningless. How many times? Every single time. All the churches today that are following this pattern, all the rules and regulations and traditions, they are meaningless to the people sitting there. They don't mean a thing. They're punching their time card and they're going to go home. Over here, it's completely different. Under family and grace, the Spirit and the truth of anyone at any time, fellowshipping in any way, anywhere, all that kind of stuff. It's the Spirit and the truth. It reveals God's meaning. You see the difference? This kind of worship makes God's meaning, makes God's word meaningless. This reveals God's meaning to us all. Which one is the only one that's true worship? That's it. Family and grace. That's it. There's no other way. Jesus told the Samaritan woman that worship according to law and formality will be ended, and that worship is in vain. Well, except for good people that don't know any better. Right, Paul? Well, except for, you know, honest people who are honestly mistaken and they would worship correctly if they only knew. Yeah. Is there any excuse? Nope. There is no excuse. Their worshiping is in vain and there's nothing you can do about it. Jesus told her and Nicodemus that worship in spirit and in truth is the only true worship God accepts. Period. The end. Which kind of worship did the Pharisees observe? This one or this one? Law and formality. How much did they observe it? To a ridiculous degree. How righteous did it make them? None. Which one did the apostles observe after Pentecost? This one. How righteous did it make them? Perfect. Perfect. Made them perfect because they're one family. That's how it works. Which kind of these kinds of worship do Jews observe today? Law and formality. So what is all of Jewish worship? Vain. Which of these do denominations and Mormons and Catholics, which of these do they observe? Law and formality. What is all of their worship? I can't say that, can I, Thomas? Aren't I kind of taking a step into off the abyss there? I shouldn't say that, should I? Yeah, I didn't say it. I'm telling you what the book says. All of their worship is in vain. What about churches of Christ, Paul, that do it under law and formality? Yeah, but they're real churches of Christ. I mean, they're for real. They're the elect. Yeah. See, the problem is if you go to Revelation and you read about the seven churches, all of those were the elect too. All of those were saved churches. And you know what God tells every single one of them? If you continue like this, I will remove your candlestick and you will not be the light of my word. So even if churches of Christ, even if true elect follow this formality, what is their worship? Vain and worthless. Are you going to tell them that? If they don't listen to God, why are you going to make a difference?
How do you tell someone that is love?
If they ask.
I know, but I mean, that's the deal there.
That's this. Let me tell you how this works. In my opinion, where we are now is, think of how far we are from where we started in terms of worship services. How much formality did we observe when we started this? Too much. I hated it with a purple passion, but am I just going to start kicking people and stomping and, oh, it's got to be this way? No. I said, okay, God, I know what the book says and I know what we're doing. You're going to have to change this. I can't do it. I have no authority. Where we stand now?
Change.
How many of you are kicking and screaming? How many of you have hate that we don't have formality here in specific orders and an order of worship? How many of you hate the time that we don't have Sunday evenings and this just isn't right? Or are you going, wow, this feels like this is what it should be like. Now, here's the way God works this. I want you to tell me of all the churches of Christ in this town, which one has no financial worries whatsoever? Which one has no building mortgages? Which one got a free building as a matter of fact? Which one has no feuds, fusses, fights, disputes, arguments? Which one comes together on Sunday and eats eggs and sausage this morning, thank you, ma'am, and eats together and has a good breakfast and They go out and see movies on Sunday evening and go to church. What church in town has God blessed beyond any of the others? This one. So which one is God saying to everyone, this is what I want? Now, what do all the other ones say? They're a loose cannon. They're not a real church. They warn people, don't come here because you're risking your salvation. Tell me who's deluded. Can you guys imagine anybody else that's been blessed like we have? Has God done anything for any church you know of that He's like He's done for us? And I mean overflowing. You guys understand this? Overflowing. How many of you remember to tell God how thankful you are that He brought you to this? Or does the devil kind of make you skip it if you're busy or tired or anything like that? Has the devil kind of dulled your appreciation of what God's done for you? If He does, God gives and God takes away. I'm telling you, the way we're doing it now is the way the book says do it. The proof is, has anyone been blessed like we've been blessed? No. Not even close. Well, what about numbers, Thomas? You know, they got 200 over here and we got, you know, 25 over here. So obviously, God blessed them and hasn't blessed us.
No, I couldn't agree with that.
Why not? Yeah. The Pharisees had 1 million people. Jesus had 12. Which ones were doing it right? That's right. You guys understand? I'm not saying this like hope cross your face. I'm saying it's proof. We have been blessed beyond anything anybody has ever seen. But do they see it? No. Can the precepts and doctrines of men corrupt a worship service that is seen as anyone in any sort of fellowship, anywhere, at any time, loving others in any way that shows God's holiness? Can the precepts of men corrupt that sort of worship? Nope. Because there's nowhere to put them. That's why we just get together, we eat, and we just have fun. It's a pleasure to be a Christian. It's only worship like this that reveals the saved from the unsaved to anyone who desires to truly worship God. You guys got me on this one? It is only worship like this that reveals the saved and unsaved to people who truly want to worship in spirit and truth. That's it. Anything else is religion, and it doesn't show anybody anything of the truth. How do you recognize vain worship? Worship that's been corrupted by man's doctrines. Here's how, and then we're done. Vain worship will always focus on traditions, rules, sacrifice, obedience, and your effort to be more righteous. That's vain worship. How many fall into that category? 99.999. True worship will always focus on peace, compassion, forgiveness, and God's efforts to make us less selfish. How many follow that pattern? Here. You know, hopefully it'll spread. How many today are deluded in how they worship God in darkness? Most. The only light that can reach them is how much we love the truth, which is shown by how much we love them and each other. Period. You got me? You are the light of the world. We are the flickering flame. We're it. That, you know, to my knowledge. The only thing you can do now is you let that light shine by showing how much you love God's way, and that can only be shown by how much we love each other, love this assembly, show up for this assembly, and love the people around us. The end. True worship. If you worship in spirit and in truth, how will God bless you? Free building, no financial worries, peace and contentment, happiness, food, going out, in every single way. Vain worship, how does God bless you? Fusses, fights, mortgages, you know, all that stuff. So you guys understand that as far as I can tell, we're doing it right? You guys want to continue doing it right? All right. Take advantage of Sunday evening. You don't have to be here to worship God. You can invite anyone to anywhere, at any time, for any reason of fellowship, just to commune together and enjoy each other's company. That's worship. And that's what God wants. Any questions, comments? How bad is this delusion? Oh my goodness. You guys understand the darkness this world is in?